Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mentioned the Black Lives Matters point goes to Kapler, and I liked him as a person, but that still wasn't baseball. And last night was about baseball, but what I saw and the bravado from "I'm gonna get the mic and I'm gonna be Clark Kent and tell you that I messed up" doesn't make it any less baffling and embarrassing, Butch. That's what I don't like.
Yeah. Do you think that his tenure in Philadelphia and the media there, he looks at what we've got going on here when it comes to the media, and I think that he thinks that he can be a little more in control of the city. And again, I'm not knocking the media out here. I'm just saying it's different. And because he's been through that fire before, would he feel like he can take more control out here and kind of, like we like to say, you know, create his own narrative? Is that even a fair thing to suggest, guys?
Great point.
You know, I think he was trying to get in front of it because he didn't want to be asked about it in a manner that made him uncomfortable. Like, okay. Because I think he's thinking, if I sit back and I wait for somebody to ask a pointed question about it, I don't get to give my statement in the manner that I want to give my statement. So I think, then once you answer, maybe you dig a deeper hole that leads to more questions. Wow. So I think his hope is, I'm going to come out, I'm going to make a statement, and because I make the statement and address it up front, I'm not going to get 5, 6, 10 follow-up questions about it, which might lead me down a path where I start talking in freaking circles and nobody can understand what the hell I'm thinking or saying, or that I'm sounding, you know, less intelligent or less coherent to what's going on.
And well, you know what? Go ahead, Butch. No, it was his Frank Sinatra moment. He was trying to do it his way, and it doesn't work that way. And he'll get used to that. But I believe, honestly, and this is no shot to anybody in the Bay, where, you know, the city and place where I grew up, they threw him softballs, because if this were Philly, he could have said all that, sung the national anthem, Butch, and they would have came with heat rock steel, well, and they wouldn't have stopped.
I'm curious.
JD, I see you shaking your head, JD.
Well, no, because this is what I'm thinking. I think it's really hard for the writers that were at the game, because when I go to games, there are certain sequences of events that I don't necessarily comprehend as well as the audience that's sitting on their couch, because you have the luxury of being able to rewind it and go back. I think it happened so quick, and I think the game kind of got out of hand, and most people were like, all right, well, game's over. You know, I'm going to start writing my story. And I'm not knocking them. I'm saying, like, this is the functionality of the job, and I don't think they had the opportunity, like I did, to sit on my couch, rewind it exactly the way it went down, and go, oh my goodness, this is way worse than it looked in real time, because I didn't really understand what was going on in real time. And then I had the hindsight and the retrospect, and I was like, ooh, that's a bad look. I mean, it just did not frame well. So I don't think the follow-up question was there, because they didn't understand the situation as well.
I think for the most part, people understood the situation. But again, here's the issue. It's an extra inning game. It's a rewrite game for a lot of reporters, because it looked like the Giants were going to lose 6-1 or 6-3, and it was going to be a dead, you know, just kind of slog of a game. Oh, well, Giants bats go quiet. You know, Gausman didn't have it. On to the next. And then it became a game where the Giants – were, you know, doing what they did the night before, and it's a rewrite. It's a, oh my God, the heroics and yes, and it, you know, it's a completely different narrative. These plucky Giants are trying to come back, and maybe they're better than expected. So I think they it went from boy, this is a dud to oh my God, these guys are going to do it again to something crazy happened. So I think a lot of the times these guys, as they're writing their stories, they got to switch it up on the fly. So in the moment of the press conference, really all most people need is one, maybe two sound bites about what happened, what were you thinking, maybe a quick follow-up, and they're all trying to get it over with as quickly as possible because it's also late, they're on deadline, they got to get out of there. Like, so it is a little bit more contextual, I think, than trying to grill a guy for what did he do here, what did he do there. I think once he gives the initial answer, most people are just kind of okay with it.
Okay, well, I'm just curious because I don't understand the functionality of deadlines. Is that for newspapers and things like that, or even people that have their internet?
Yeah, they just need to get it out quick because nobody's going to read it. If you take an hour and a half after the game, everybody's gone to bed, nobody's going to read it. So it's like, yeah, maybe there isn't a hard deadline of going to print like there used to be in the day, but it's also a matter of people – I mean, it was after 11 o'clock. I mean, people are going to bed. Game ends, so a lot of fans are just out.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was listening to it on television, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I have so many follow-up questions. Like, I wanted to jump in there, like, right away. And I not that I'm some member of the media that has the credibility to
you
ask Steve Kaplan what's going on. Honest to God, I'll be very interested today to see if anybody presses him on it. Like, I do think there are legitimate baseball questions to be asked to Gabe Kapler on the sequence of events that happened, him sticking with Rogers as long as he did, not having the guy ready, keeping him out there. Like, those are legitimate philosophies I want to know because I want to know if I can get down with this guy moving forward.
Now,
and I
JD,
think those.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I quickly go. I just think those over 162, or even in this case over 60, you know, those that are on these Zoom calls and asking questions and cover the team on a day in day out basis, those things sort of come out naturally. Like, I think at times we think, okay, you know, guy makes a mistake, now you got to ask him 10 questions about his philosophy. The reality is everybody's just trying to get the hell out of there, and there's so many more games typically that a lot of that stuff will get asked in a more natural, you know, flowing environment, Goo.
Yeah, and Shasky talked about it, and so did you, JD. You alluded to it. It's not just this, that one instance on how he handled that trip to the mound. I got five things down that look like the Riddler costume from Batman that are question marks. Like, I'm Monday morning quarterback, but we're not even getting into that because the air was so egregious. And I ask you two this. If you're in the car with Gabe Kapler and he says, Shasky, JD, what did I lose last night by not knowing the rules?
Yeah.
How bad was it really?
Yeah.
To me, if you ask me, Gabe, you lost confidence almost to a whole fan base. How would you two answer that? What did he lose to you last night by knowing the rule and on top of that, the game?
Well, for me, and I'll be very quickly about it, and I do want to play – we'll kind of run through the post-game sound from Gabe Kapler last night. We'll get into the
what
questions that were asked and his answers to it. For me, what he lost – like, I look at it a little bit differently because I'm not expecting much from Gabe Kapler. Like, I look at a night like last night as somebody that from day one thought it was a bad hire, from day one thought this guy is going to be short-lived as manager of the Giants. For me, last night was, well, that was going to happen at some point.
Wow.
Like, as bad a look as it is, like, I'll stand in the back because I was one of the people that believed it the day he was hired. So I'm not like, oh, there's the evidence. It's more kind of like, yeah, okay, well, if he has to manage enough games, eventually these things that frustrate and madden the fans and maybe even players and the media, eventually it's all going to play out. Like, his resume will speak for itself over time. So I kind of had more of a hands-off approach as far as, you know, just, oh, my God, here it is. Like, for me, Shasky, it's more like, yeah, I knew who this guy was.
Wow. Yeah, for me, I just look at Philadelphia as such a different market than what we got going on out here. So a lot of the stuff that comes out of there, I just roll my eyes and I'm like, you know, what's Philly? Like I literally just throw it all in a bucket and I go, that's Philly. Like, I don't really know how much is real, how much is just hyperbole.
You know what's
right,
funny
Jenny?
About that? You know what's funny about that? And because you say that, And you say that almost as if it like is a feather in Gabe Kapler's cap. But here's
still
the
deal. Baseball.
You're more like you are a diehard Giants fan.
That's true.
You're a Philly. You're like a Philly fan. Like you're like you. Not everybody does analyze the Giants like they're the Phillies, but you actually do. So
you're right.
To me would be the last person that would say, "Well, I don't believe it." No, you would be the person saying because he stunk in Philly, he's going to stink with the Giants.
161, 163.
But you got to remember, I'm irrational a lot of the times, especially when it comes to the Giants. Like
That's a fact.
You know, I love my team, and I'm irrational, and I also understood the situation he was inheriting. So I gave him – so what has he lost for me, Guru?
Yeah.
Some of my patience, because I was willing to grant him certain elements of patience, knowing the situation, knowing the guy he's replacing, and he's lost the benefit of the doubt from the criticisms in Philadelphia that I was willing to overlook. Wow. He's lost those now. Now I'm more willing to listen to what everyone in Philly was telling me, and now I kind of am understanding it. Am I all the way saying run this guy out of town? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He can still totally preserve his time here. Who knows? Like at one time, I thought Bruce Bochy was a holdover. I thought he was just a guy who was going to hold the place for Barry Bonds at the end, and he was just a retread, and I didn't think highly of him. And boy, was I wrong. I would love to be wrong on Gabe Kapler. Believe me, I want it to happen. I want this team to get back to the playoffs. But he's lost a lot of my patience, and now he's lost the benefit of the doubt that I was willing to overlook what happened in Philadelphia.
You know what's funny, Goo? Giants win that game last night. And you know what are we doing today? If they win that game last night, we're talking about how Kapler's got them playing
playoff
hard.
Standings.
They're scrappy. Yep. They're in the playoff race with eight teams. Hell, forget about eight teams. Maybe they're a game out of the first for the Dodgers, and they beat them 2 out of 4. And like we're talking about what a great job he's doing if they win that game, and they're 4-3. Never mind the fact that they're 4-3 should probably be 1-6 or 2-5 anyway. It'd be kind of a fluky 4-3. But regardless, they'd be 4-3, and we'd be praising Gabe Kapler. One inning gets away from him. They can't get a runner in. You know, he makes a mistake, and now all of a sudden it's, well, this is who we thought he was.
Yeah, and his whole crew, Shasky, the bench coach, the pitch, everybody involved didn't have his back. So this is a stain on all of them, too. They weren't in tune with what was going on, whatever they were doing, whatever they were reading. They weren't in tune with the game, just like Kapler. So I won't say yes, men, but all of Gabe's men look bad in this, too. It's just not Gabe. He's taking the brunt of it. But damn, what the hell is going on in a game to where you don't know your manager's about to go embarrass himself, not from people at the stadium because nobody was there, but this is embarrassing for the Giants. And if I'm Farhan and I'm having my breakfast this morning, I'm kind of embarrassed. Seriously.
Well, and it goes back to the same thing. Like, I know they have Ron Wotus, and I believe he's the third base coach now. He's not a bench coach. Is that correct, JD?
That's yes, Ty Correa is the bench coach. 32 okay. years old, no baseball experience.
But look, I don't want to knock the guy. You do need a consigliere. I mean, you need that guy that you trust. I mean, if this was the Godfather, I'd ask who's the consigliere,
right.
who's the senior guy that he got that. Who's his Jerry West on that bench?
Right.
You know, who's his Mike Brown? You know, even Kyle Shanahan's got a couple of dudes that he trusts from going back way back when. And again, I'm not knocking the young guy. Like, I'm willing. I actually like that they hired some young guys, but you got to sprinkle in the old wise man somewhere on that bench.
See, it's tough because you know, again, that's like, well, you like that they hired the young guys, but then the young guys, you can't hire the young guys and then expect Ron Wotus who, I mean, let's be honest. Like, let's put the rat on the table with Ron Wotus.
Uh-oh.
You know, we talk about Hunter Pence like Hunter Pence is here. You know, Hunter Pence is here because of sentimentality and the fan. Look, Ron Wotus is still with the Giants because they wanted to, I think, command a level of respect from, you know, some of the players that have been here and the media and the fan base, that they were keeping a guy that was around with Bruce Bochy and that they were keeping a guy that was around with Dusty Baker. I think that was more – I'll say it. That, to me, feels more like it was done for show than anything – you know, going and getting Hunter Pence or bringing Pablo Sandoval back. To me, bringing Ron Wotus back was as good a coach as he is. And that's not a knock on Ron Wotus one bit. But to me, bringing him back is almost to appease those that would be out
behind
there
us,
wringing their hands saying, all these 30-year-old coaches, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah, but and I get that. But even then, Shasky, it happened on his watch. You know, he was a part of that. Ron's in on this. You know, you could say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but is he?
But
is he?
I mean, he was there. He could have prevented it. I just – the lack of communication to me led by Kapler is something. We'll watch the next 54 games or – yeah, I believe it's 54 games. And, again, I'm not saying he's done as a Giant manager. I just don't know if the situation will arise to where he can ever do something to where he fooled the other team, put the player in a position to win. Butch, I think this is like a tattoo.
Well, I mean, tattoos can be removed with modern medicine, so we will see if that can happen. Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. But look, there's always another day. That's the beauty of baseball. There's always another day. And, you know, they do have an ace in the back pocket. I mean, if we're being totally honest, you want to change the narrative? You want to change the narrative immediately? You bring Joey Bart up. I mean, that's
got to be happening any day, right? Right, fellas? JD, that's got to be coming.
It should be coming. It should have come yesterday. Yeah. It should have come 2 days ago. I mean, it really should have been opening day, honestly, because the collective bargaining agreement's going to change no matter what.
Thank you.
The whole service time issue is not going to be an issue because we're going to have the rest of this year, and then they're going to play next year, and then there's going to be a work stoppage.
While we're here at the Joey Bart thing, again, if it's about making your team better, I'm watching – defensively, this team struggled behind the plate. They couldn't block a ball. A guy scored from third on a pass ball yesterday that, again, it's a tough play, but you got to make that play. They didn't cover home plate on a squeeze late in the game after that whole situation that we were talking about. It was first and third. Guys have been running all day on them. Every single game they've been running on them. Not one pitch out all year. I have not liked the pitch sequence within certain batters, like 0-2. No one on. That ball should be in the dirt. You should never hang one. Like, I don't care what it is. Like, there's certain things that I'm seeing from the catcher position, and I'm saying, if Bart's an upgrade defensively, it's malpractice for him not to be up.
He should just be up, period. Like, what have you got to lose? He could come up and be terrible, guru. Yeah. He could come up and be terrible, and who does it hurt? It doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, this is a rebuilding team, right? Everybody keeps telling me the Giants are rebuilding, even though their best players are either almost 30 or, like, in their early 30s. Like, the Donovan Solano's 33, Darren Ruff's 34, Yaz is going to be 30. Everybody's telling me the Giants are rebuilding, yet their best players are all 30. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, and if I'm Gabe, and I know baseball's a business, but I'm in the business of winning. And I know the team control thing, but it looks like we're past that to where if he comes up, it won't count. You know, he won't get a full service year. But if I'm Gabe Kapler and I listen to my veterans in spring training, you know, where they were saying this dude's ready and you don't have Johnny Bench in the way or Buster Posey, Shasky JD, I would be talking to Farhan, like doing everything in my power to get him to come up and be better than what we're running out there on a daily basis.
I mean, it can't be worse than watching these guys struggle with the DH position. Pablo's batting 129. I don't think Pence is – does Pence have an average? Does he have a hit yet? I think he's 0 for the season. Yeah, I mean, like, you're telling me he can't field some ground balls at first base? I mean, I would find at-bats to this guy. You put him in the middle of this lineup. Maybe you score 7 runs last night instead of 6. Maybe that game doesn't get to the extra innings. How many times have we seen the 4th and 5th hitters in this lineup leave multiple runners in scoring position? Not even put the ball in play. I mean, I love Dickerson. There's a play last night. Yastrzemski leads off with a triple, and he just strikes out. Like, you got to put the ball in play right there. And they got lucky because Solano put the ball in play down the right field line
and drove him in with
a sack fly. But again, like... And I know strikeouts happen. This team needs somebody who's got some pop who can put the ball in play. Bring Joey Bart up. They need it.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Bonte Steiny, a guru. John Dickinson, Joe Shasky in for Bonte and Steiny. Daryl the Guru Johnson here. As always, we continue to discuss the Giants' loss last night to the Phillies. And even more than that, Gabe Kapler with his first pretty major mistake. I mean, let's be honest. What happened last night was a pretty embarrassing look. We're going to get into some of the sound here coming up, but I do want to hit this again, and we played it at the top of the show. Gabe Kapler, coming out in the post-game press conference, which is now a Zoom call with reporters, and before even being asked about what happened, he decided that he was going to kind of own the moment. Let's hear it.
All right, I'll open it up here. I know everybody's going to be asking about going to get Rodgers when I did, and that was just a mental screw up on my part. I've been around the game for a long time, and I just had a lapse in memory. Things in the dugout. We were talking about a lot of different things, and popped out there and went and got him. And obviously, that was just a mental screw up on my part. So just wanted to own that. 100% my responsibility, and then happy to open it up and talk about the game.
One other one I wanted to get to, because there we didn't play this one earlier, and it was toward the end, because Kapler was asked about Philadelphia specifically, because and that's kind of where I want to take the conversation coming up next. He was asked about Philadelphia and the reputation in Philly, and more specifically, if he was concerned that he was – you know, building a negative reputation with the Giants because of a move like last night, and here's how he addressed that.
I'm really actually proud of our ability to come back, and we've done that two nights in a row, you know, with Yastrzemski leading the charge and Solano swinging the bat very well. Certainly speaks to the grit and the tenacity of the team and the willingness to keep fighting all the way to the end. So proud of that component of this game.
You know,
so yeah, go ahead. He's proud that they lost. I mean,
there's a Chris Rock thing that I always like to say. Your job is to compete. Like, you don't get credit for doing your job. My favorite is on the first quote that he had, where he goes, you know, I'm managing a lot of different things at once. Yeah, that's the job, Gabe. Like, the job is multitasking. Like, newsflash, the job is you have to think five moves ahead. I don't know if you know this. That literally is in the job description.
Yep, that's why you got hired, Goo. That's the term I always use. That's price of admission. That's the price of admission, being able to facilitate all that.
And I've learned two new phrases over the past couple of weeks, one being entanglement and then the other lapse of memory. So that's the baseball version of that for me, JD, lapse of memory. What are we doing here, man?
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. We're talking Giants all day here, 888-957-9570. We'll get into some of the things that went wrong for them outside of Kapler's gaffe, but we still want to get in and take your calls. How does Gabe Kapler overcome it? That is all sponsored by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Outdoor Supply Hardware now has 8 great locations, including Berkeley at Ashby and San Pablo Avenue. Stop by for all your grilling, outdoor living, lawn and garden needs. Find hours, locations, and other info at osh.com.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back here, John Dickinson and Joe Shasky in for Bonte and Steiny. There is some breaking NFL news.
Uh-oh.
We know Antonio Brown's fate. Suspended for the first 8 regular season games for violation of the NFL personal conduct policy. So wherever he signs, whenever he signs, he's
got to
sit out 8 games now.
Yeah, well, does that mean – even if he's not signed, it's the first 8 games, or once he gets signed?
It's once the next 8 signed. Games, he's got to get signed. So if he doesn't get signed until a year from now, he's got to sit out half of next year.
And that's got to bode well for him. Now he knows, and the teams know, okay, we'll be without him, you know, 8 games, but that's second 8. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It does put
him back in the conversation.
Yeah,
it does. You want to get back to Giants, though, because I got a lot of Giants thoughts, guys.
Yeah, let's get to a call, though. Let's get to Joey in Oakland as we continue to talk all things Giants, and in particular Gabe Kapler following the gaffe last night. Hey, Joey, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, you guys can hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Hey, if I'm not mistaken, Shasky, Joe, hey, I really love all of you guys. I listen to you guys all the time in the car, every time. But if I'm not mistaken, just last night you were talking about how good Gabe Kapler was to shining on players that might not be getting so much light. And now you're just like last night, right before the game, you were all about him, and now you're just throwing him under the bus. You know, maybe you made a mistake.
Hey, thanks, Joey. We'll keep it moving. Well, you go ahead, Joe, and then I got something that I think is a bigger picture topic off of this.
Look, JD, all I've been hearing about is this guy stinks from everybody, not in this market per se, but other markets. This guy stinks. You're going to hate him. And I was like, look, I'm going to, you know, give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Have I completely done a 180 since last night? Yeah, I kind of have. I don't think I've lost him all the way. Like, I still think this guy, okay, I know, I'm backing up, but I think it's being presented with different evidence every single day. Like, sticking to, I just hate this guy no matter what, isn't that kind of stubborn? Isn't that a flawed thought process? Like, again, last night what happened, I didn't agree with a lot of the moves that happened last night.
You said you haven't given up on him, though.
Yeah. I'm not giving up on him. Yeah. He could still win me back over, and he could still right the ship. Like, the season has not been written yet, okay? So, again, yes, I'm crushing him this morning. He kind of deserves to be crushed, though, guys. Like, he should have had a quicker yank on getting Rodgers out of there, and not knowing the rules, that's literally his job.
And JD, before you get, I know you're about to take it somewhere. I'll just say this. Last night made me, and I'm my own man, it made me reopen the Phillies file of Gabe Kapler. And if you get where I'm going, it made me say, maybe it wasn't just fluke stuff that happened in Philly that followed him, why his teams didn't win 2 years in a row. And he's had moves like these to where the media's had fun. And now we had our chance last night. We saw it.
And we certainly appreciate Joey, first and foremost, for listening to the Bay Area Baseball Show.
Yeah, thank you.
And I do. Because he caught that last night.
Jamie, do I sound like a flip-flopper?
No, I wanted to go somewhere completely different because he said –
you got to ask, Steve.
No, but everybody – but here's the thing. I mean, we were talking about this in the last segment. It's the fact that, like, you know, we're coming on the air after they win the other night, and they're 3-3, and it's like, oh my God, they're 3-3, and it feels like they're three and three feels like 5-1 because everybody thought they were going to win 18 games out of 60, and they're a disaster, and maybe they're not that bad. And Yastrzemski, what is this? Like, baseball, the nature of baseball is not to react to it like football. Like, I think we're caught up in it right now, reacting to it like that, because there are one fewer games. But we're also it's because we haven't had sports to talk about for 4.5 months. So I think we're overdoing. Like, look, I view it from the opposite end. Like, I'm on record and was on record from day one before he was even hired, saying I would not touch this guy. I wouldn't hire him. I think it's an awful fit. I think with this team having an inability to win in all likelihood in the next 2 years, he won't win enough to be able to justify the mistakes that he will make. So, but for me, it's like, that's my take. I'm sticking with that take, Goo. But I'm not – like, them winning Wednesday night in dramatic fashion doesn't change the fact that I still think he's going to wind up being a short-tenured manager. Like, I'm not going to do the yin and the yang and the everyday of back and forth of now he's great, now they're terrible. I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. And you know what? It's your prerogative, JD, and I get that, and I get how you feel about Kapler. But as far as the math – I feel like, you know, it's anybody's right to get excited in a short season. And now we're at the juncture where they got 53 games left. They're not out of it. And all that I'm saying is we saw 2 months, Shasky, last year where this team got hot and some people went back and forth ping pong on were they contenders or pretenders. My point is, JD, all you can react to is today's game.
Yeah,
and then when
totally.
You apply that to the math with the standings, I don't think it's throwing a parade. But I do get the even keel thing, Shasky, to wear. But I hadn't come in here during these six games and said Kapler's the greatest manager in the world, regardless of what they won or lost. But last night, we're reacting, JD, because it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing, but here's my point on that. It's the fact that, like, last night, that kind of a gaffe, that kind of a mistake, that is in line with what we saw in Philly. So, you know, beating the Dodgers a couple of times over the weekend and having a cool walk-off against the Padres the night before, like, it counts, but that in and of itself doesn't change my opinion of Gabe Kapler. That is not enough to outweigh or even come close to having a conversation about, well, maybe I'm wrong. Now, if this team goes 33-27 and makes the playoffs, then maybe I'll have a conversation at that point about maybe I was wrong. I will do it, but I'm not going to go, oh, they won a big game, I was wrong, because I'm going to give it enough time to play out before I cast that kind of opinion. He's got a lot of bad built up. The only way he's going to overcome the bad, Butch, is if he wins a lot of games like the game Wednesday night, wins a lot of games like the two at Dodger Stadium over the weekend. Like, you can't just go 24-36, but you had some big wins along the way. You know what? I don't think you're a terrible manager like I did when you were hired in November.
Yeah, but winning the fan base over, and guys like myself who are diehard fans, it's a meritocracy, right? It's credits and demerits. So if we've got like a sliding scale going on here, most Giants fans, and this wasn't even me because I told you on the front end, I was empathetic. Most Giants fans are going to say, to your point, JD, he's starting in a deficit, not even because of Philly, because he's not Bruce Bochy, right? I put him down to zero, okay? Then he loses some demerits after the first couple of games against the Dodgers. Then he swings the pendulum back in the other direction when they fought back and they split that series and win two the way they were fighting the last couple of nights. I was feeling really good. How can you not give the guy credit? When you do good things, I'm going to applaud. I'm going to give him credit. And when I see things last night, I'm going to come on here and be really disappointed.
You give him credit, Guru, and I'm okay with giving him credit, but giving him credit doesn't change the narrative. Like,
which is
like,
fair.
And I
which
go,
is fair.
Like, giving him, you can give him credit. He can have a good game. Well, guess what? He's got to have a whole season and a half of good games to show me that he's a good manager, not just, oh, my God, the plucky Giants came back from 6-2 down and Yaz hit a couple of home runs and now he's a good manager. I'm not going down that road. I'll go down that road when that's what they are for a season. I'll go down that road if they are, wow, an unexpected playoff team this year at 32-28, then I'll go down that road. There's too much on the negative side to flip it one game. Now, and in contrast to that, Goo, because the negatives count more because I already have a negative opinion of him. He's already starting in his self-proclaimed hole.
Right, and it's not a prejudice that you have. It's what you've seen from Gabe Kapler in almost 400 baseball games as manager. I support both of you as I look at you on Zoom on the Bay Area's baseball show nightly, and I just want to tell you this, Jaylee, I don't get to talk to you much, so I thought when he replaced game one, when he embarrassed what I deem embarrassed Brandon Crawford, to taking him out the game for Solano, I thought, okay, forget the scoreboard, Shasky. You're losing the people skill aspect of manager and champion, because that's what Brandon Crawford is. So that was one strike for me. That's just me. I'm ready to go out on a limb and say, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but these 53 games left that the Giants have, there's nothing Kapler can do that will supersede that gaffe that he pulled last night. I'm just – the Kerrs of the world, the Bochys, I went on with them. They don't have this ever on their resume.
All right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Mark in P-Town. Mark, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love your show, man.
Appreciate
it. Sorry about that. The train's going by right now, but – yeah, I think you guys are kind of crucifying Kapler a little too early in the season.
Okay, why do you think that?
What's that?
We're losing the connection. We got to let him go. We got to let
him go. Dan, it's gone.
Well, see you later.
I mean,
sorry. It was a bad look. It was a bad look, Shasky. Yeah, that's all.
But who's saying that he can't redeem himself? It was just, yeah, like you said, it's a really, really, really bad look last night. And again, watching it contextually, I'm asking out loud, how many other managers have done this? Because, Guru, that's a great point. It's something you brought up, and I've thought about it, and I Maddie is the only one, and it happened 10 years ago with a different rule change.
It's how you look at it. You're ignoring Philly. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I was.
But some people, I understand if they don't. So when you add the Philly to this,
that's a good point.
He hasn't learned, JD. He hasn't grown. There's no growth there.
Correct. And again, one or two regular season wins that are unexpected and cool and fun aren't enough to make up for Philly and my belief
wow.
that more of Preach. These types of moments like last night are going to happen. Like you, like three wins the first week of the year when you think, oh my God, they're 3-3 because they're 3-3? Like I thought they were probably going to be 2-4. So they're one game off of what I thought they were going to probably be at this point in time. Like seasons take a while to separate out. Like that's why the short season works to his advantage because there isn't going to be in all likelihood enough time for this team to be as bad as they would have been over 162.
Well, JD, I think where some of my frustration stems from, and again, it's not the end of the world, but some of my frustration stems from, don't tell me how smart you are. Show me how smart you are. Mm. And it's very frustrating when nice. All I hear about is we've been working and pounding the fundamentals. We've got the spreadsheets. We're going to go with the numbers. Oh, this is all we think about, spin rates and all these. And it's like, okay. And you botched a very simple mound visit situation. And forget the mound visit. You should have taken Tyler Rogers out. I mean,
why'd you let Hinneman bat in the eighth? We go ahead, runners on.
Two moves.
He
shouldn't have even started the inning, right?
I mean, exactly. Exactly.
We hadn't even got to those things. It's like, questionable.
Renegade's up next here, 95.7
The Renegade.
Hey, you know, it's always a pleasure to get to listen to the morning show or the afternoon drive, whatever you guys are called, middays, or I get my times confused with this COVID. But, hey, I hadn't seen a manager make that big a mistake since Steve Kerr sent out Festus Ezeli for the fourth quarter in Game 7.
Game 7.
So, for those of you who have never seen Kerr make a mistake, last night he may have cost him a game, but he didn't catch him a championship. But can I imitate Guru after the Giants came back and tied it at 6?
Yep.
The Giants have won the pennant! The Giants have won the pennant! Oh, my God, the greatest 500 team in the history of all of baseball. This is great. Tomorrow they'll come out knowing they have a chance to go a game over 500. This is absolutely amazing. The Giants have won the pennant. Bobby Duff. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But, hey, this team sucks. They're horrible. And I said that 2 days ago. Our Warrior did, and I'm piggybacking off him. But, I don't
our
understand.
Our Warrior and Renegade
analyzing the same. Like you expected. This team or this organization to be competitive. He made one simple mistake. It's, there's 53 games left. It's not that big a mistake when you think of the ZD going out there and not being able to move in the fourth quarter of Game 7. So, appreciate the show. Love your guys' analysis. I just give Guru, as somebody who's a little bit older than him and seen the ups and the downs, is, dude, it's a 60-game season. You can't live and die with each game. If you have thoughts or delusions of the Giants actually fielding a quality team this year, you're wrong. Set your goals somewhere else. Put the sand down. Let Ponte and Shasky carry the buckets for a while. You're losing too much sand in your argument, and Renegade appreciates your time.
Renegade, right, thanks, what a walk-off. You were just like Kaplan. You kind of lost me a little in the middle. You kind of lost me in the middle, but, man, you close. Coffee is for closers.
Hey, I'll tell you this, J.D., real quick to what he said. They're through seven games, they've not been horrible. How about that?
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they've been
losing, Guru.
Look, they were horrible the first two games. They were pretty good the second two games. They found ways to win. They were horrible the third. They were really flat in the third, fourth, and the fifth games. They do get credit for coming back. Obviously, they won game two of that series, Shasky. So, look, they have a better record, I think, than their overall play, even at 3-4. Like, I always try to keep, all right, what's your record versus, you know, what does the eye test, you know, kind of say? And to me, they look like a 2-5 team that's 3-4. Okay, great. Tip my cap.
Yeah, but there are some
but they're still 3-4.
I know, but there's some big positives. Like, Yastrzemski is, like, we cannot gloss over this. The rise of Yastrzemski is real, okay? You can say, oh, it's seven games. It's 400 at-bats for me. Like, that's what I'm looking at. This guy had 400 at-bats. He's had an opportunity to be adjusted to by the league. He's had an opportunity to make his adjustments. And he's a 280 hitter with 25 jacks through 400. I mean, that's pretty damn good. Like, I'm really excited for what this guy has become.
Yeah, I think you could make a case that's the only tangible, like, because to me, like, you can find individual positives and negatives on a night-in-night-out basis, Goo. Yastrzemski is the one where, hey, if he can keep this up for the remainder of the 60-game year, he actually is a player that you can count on for next year. And that in and of itself, I think, is a, you know, that's a much more legitimate win than, hey, a guy had a good night here or there.
Okay, and I'll say this. Steiny's not here, but, you know, we had 15 rounds. I'll throw Solano in the same Yaz conversation. I mean, what he's doing is almost as impressive as what Yaz is doing. And at the end of the day, can I make the case for this 2020 Giant team? They're not ready to play at the beginning. Why are they getting down and then having to come back? Do you think that's fair? Overreaction?
They just don't have good pitching, right? Like their pitching's not elite at any level. Like, they literally have no studs. Did you see the guy they went up against last night? A lamb. I mean, the guy's throwing 98, 99. Goodness. He had a devastating 87-mile-an-hour slider. Like, I mean, that's what every team seems to have except the Giants. And what is he, 24, 25, JD? I mean, Lamet was spectacular. Once he came out of the game, though, Padres' bullpen's garbage. So that's when the Giants came back.
Yeah, I think the Giants, on a night-in, night-out basis, don't have a great lineup, especially against right-handed pitching. They just don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fact of it. And you're right. You get a look at a different pitcher, and they can win some matchups. And I think they've done that as the game has gone on. You give them credit for that. They have fought. They have continued to have good at-bats to try and come back. Yastrzemski and Solano have been positives. All of those things, like, we can acknowledge all of those things while at the same time also acknowledging the fact that, in the grand scheme of, does this mean they're a good team or not? It doesn't matter. Like, both of those things can be true. Like, they can be a mediocre team that probably we're going to talk about as in the playoff race. I use quotations because in the playoff race means within a couple of games of 500. You're just automatically going to be in the playoff race. That doesn't mean you're a playoff team or a good team.
But wouldn't that excite you as a player, JD? Wouldn't that excite you, though, as a player, to where you thought it was going to be a long-ass season, you got no chance to win, and because things happened, COVID, the season's been reduced, and now they've opened up more playoff spots? I'm asking you, if we were in the same clubhouse, JD, I said, get fired up, JD. Why are you not smiling?
He'd be like, I
agree. What are you
that.
Talking about? We're not that good. Well, we got a chance to make the playoff. We don't got to win the division. We got a chance. You don't think that gives you an extra pep in your step?
It might. But again, that what does that even matter? I mean, yes, I don't disagree with that, but what does it matter? Like, yeah, it's going to keep teams motivated to play, which is good for the league as a whole, when, you know, you could make the case, Shasky, that because of COVID, if a team, you don't want any team really to get too far away, because then they'll just completely give up or maybe even tap out completely.
Well, and that's what I was most fearful of this season, was it was going to be a complete dumpster fire and there'd be no positivity. So whenever you get, you know, a little shred or ounce of positivity, I'm going to be super ecstatic. Like, again, we're coming off of 5 months.
Nice.
We've all been stuck in our house with our families, losing our minds. We had a little Giants-Dodger taste, just a little blood in the water, and we're like, losing our minds. Because you know what? That's what sports fans do. We're optimistic lunatics. Duh. And then when things go wrong,
right,
we go crazy.
Right.
That's why we're here. No, it's Jonathan in San Francisco is up next here. Jonathan, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, you know, this is who he was in Philly. This is who he is here. He can't teach all dogs new tricks. Bottom line is, this is why, you know, most people doesn't like the puppet. Because the puppet is useless without the puppet master. So the puppet master is probably away when he had the brain freeze. Hey, he's Kapler, Tom Tula.
Wow. Thanks for the call, Jonathan. Oh, that's actually a comp that I've made. I don't. I mean, I'm going to give credit to Jonathan, but that... That's actually
JD,
a comparison.
He had a
that
good ass team in Philly two
I don't
seasons.
Know the facts.
They were primed to win, and I mean it was a disaster.
I don't know.
Did they underachieve?
I mean, obviously they were.
No, the coaching underachieved. I could tell you that the coaching, the managing failed the team. You got Bryce Harper, you got Stutz, Segura. I mean, you got guys everywhere, man, and it just didn't happen.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. More phone calls coming up. Burns, hang on the line as we keep it moving here, talking Giants on a Friday. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.